Okay, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. If you've got a Bible, could you turn to Acts chapter 16? Acts chapter 16. If you've not met me, my name is Stuart. I'm the leader of the church here. Very warm welcome to you. He is alive. Fantastic. All right. On recognition that it's Easter Sunday and it's that time of year, the time of year where we mistake brightness for warmth. Who had chocolate for breakfast? Quite a few of you. Embarrassing. Who's had chocolate since they've been in the building? Oh, yeah, there's lots of chocolate. Is that something that there's chocolate? Our house, we have got tons of the stuff. It just seemed to have accumulated and multiplied throughout the week. Wherever we go, people are giving us chocolate. We've been giving chocolate. It's wonderful. Do a quick hands up. Are you a Cadbury's cream egg person or you're a Cadbury's caramel egg person? Hands up for cream eggs. Hands up for caramel eggs. I think the cream eggs have it. But tell you what, do you know what? I think I put two hands up. One in each hand. You can eat them both. It's the time of year we have lots of food. We've had a really busy week as a family, getting ready for messy Easter for today. But in the middle of the week, we had a bit of a change of scene because we had a family wedding. So the four of us all got dressed up and we went down to just outside Solihull for a family wedding. My boys were the ring bearers. We codenamed them Frodo and Bilbo for the wedding. So they were doing that part of it. It was Mel's nephew who was at our wedding when he was this big. He's now like taller than me. So he was getting married and we were there with the family, extended family. It was a wonderful time. But what happened, the best part of the day was, what's the best part of the wedding? The food, that's right. So when we finally got into the food, we got sat at these tables and you have wedding plans and you have seating plans at the wedding. And we found our seat and we found our plan. There's a little name on your seat. And so you sat down there and I was on a table with myself and Melanie and our two boys and Mel's brother and his wife and Mel's mum. We were all there. But then we noticed something. I was sitting there and next to me was my brother-in-law, Dan. But between us, there was a gap because the individual who was sitting there was ill, so couldn't make the wedding. Can you see where this is going? Oh, yeah. So what happened was like, he's not going to be there. That means there's food going. Right, so what do we do about this? Well, the first thing I did was took off my jacket, put it on the chair next to me. Just because I needed somewhere to go with my jacket and I didn't want it behind me in case I leant back on and creased it. And so then the starters came out and these squad of young men and women came out with all the starters, put them all down, and suddenly next to us appeared the starter that was just there. So we went around the table, who wants the extra starter? So we cut it up, divided it up around the table. So we had extras, which was fantastic because they were these wonderful baked fish cakes. They were brilliant. And then the main course came out. Roast beef. All I can say is praise God for vegetarians. Because we went around the table. Who wants some of the roast beef? Vegetarians said no. It's like, brilliant. And then I looked at my two boys. Do you want some more roast beef? And praise God, they said no. So I looked at my brother-in-law. And it's like, it's you and me, mate. So we had the extra roast beef there. And we divided up the other stuff. And then dessert came out, which was chocolate brownies. And by that time, everyone was a bit full. Who wants any chocolate brownies? No one. Looked at my brother-in-law. Best wedding ever. So, it went downhill because we got a puncture on the way home, but that's another story in the car. Anyway, we're in part three of our Resurrection People series. If you've missed the first two, which was last week and the week before, please catch up. They are online. We are a resurrection people. We are all about Jesus. We know that he died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised to life again. And because of that, we too are raised to life in him. We are part of his resurrection people. In week one, we looked at Peter and the other apostles when they met the risen Jesus and they became part of his resurrection people. Last week, we looked at Saul Paul and Ananias, who were two men who was life transformed by the risen Jesus, and they were part of his resurrection people. And what we're going to look at today is a continuation, really, of Paul's story. I'm going to read a passage of scripture with you, and then we're going to look at a little bit at two more people who were part of God's resurrection people. So if you've got your Bible, we're into Acts chapter 16. We're going to read it together. It's going to appear on the screen behind, just a few verses. On a count, it's in 1, 2, 3, and then we will start reading. So ready? 1, to... Oh, that's not the beginning. We go back one, verse 11. Oh, that's all you've got. Oh, what's next then? That's not the right... Are you on the... It's the other PowerPoint. All right, I'll read it. That's fine. Don't worry. Okay, here we go. Chapter 16, verse 11, it says this. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath, we went outside the gates to the riverside where we were supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Okay, big idea. Resurrection people faithfully follow the call of Jesus to proclaim the message of Jesus. Context of what we just read. Last week, we saw a man named Saul met the risen Jesus. He gave his life to him. Another man named Ananias came and prayed for him. He was then baptized, became the apostle Paul, proclaimed the message of God all around the area of the Middle East. This takes a place after it. Paul is now traveling around as part of God's resurrection people, planting churches and telling others that Jesus is now alive. He's gathered a team. It contains Timothy, who we know we've actually preached through 2 Timothy. There's 2 letters written later in our New Testament to Timothy, who was Paul's son in the faith. There's a man named Silas we'll look at next week. And there's also the Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts that we just read. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke that bears his name. So they're part of Paul's team, and they are traveling around. Paul then receives a vision in the night from a man from Macedonia and says, "Come over and help us." And in response to that vision, Paul and his team leave where they are and head across the sea to Macedonia. And they are moving from Asia Minor, the Roman province, which is modern-day Turkey. They are crossing the sea over to Macedonia, which is in modern-day Greece. And so what this is a significant moment as the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is transferring from one continent, Asia, over into mainland Europe. So this is a significant moment of the gospel. In the spread of the gospel, we're going to look at 3 things. The first one we're going to look at is the journey to Philippi. So it says, setting sail from Troas. So they were, the immediate thing that Paul and his team did was they responded to what God had said. They got a vision. The man from Macedonia says, "Come over and help us." And the response of Paul and his team is to go. It immediately begins verse 11. So, setting sail. Troas is a city on the coast of Asia Minor. So, that's where they would have been. And there's no hanging around. So, they immediately set sail from there. Then they go to a small island in the Aegean Sea called Samothrace, which is just a stopover point. They then sail on from there to Neapolis, which is a coastal town in modern-day Greece. And that then is linked to the town of Philippi by something called the Ignatian Way, which is a Roman road about 10 miles long, and some of it still exists today. And so they then traveled into Philippi, which was the leading city of the region. And so they're going over to Macedonia, and where do they head? They head to the most important place. Well, Philippi is the most important place because it's the leading city. It was named after Philip II of Macedonia, who was Alexander the Great's father. You may have heard of him. And it was the place that would have been the place of influence, the place of business and commerce and finance. And it would have been sort of the center, the hub. The most people would have lived there. And so Paul and team have been told by God, go to Macedonia to preach Jesus, who is now alive. And they went to the leading city. We also learn that Philippi is a Roman colony, which means it's patterned after Rome in terms of its government. So it reflects Rome, the capital city of the empire at the time. It had many Roman citizens in it. It had stable law, stable government. And so Paul and his team are heading right into the center of a place that doesn't know Jesus to proclaim the risen Jesus. And it says they remained there in the city some days. So they landed in a new place, took a few days to get their bearings. First thing I want us to learn this morning is resurrection people follow God's call. Resurrection people follow God's call. Paul was serving in Asia Minor with his team, proclaiming the risen Jesus, planting churches. They were working hard and doing what the Lord had asked them to do. And then there comes a change of direction. Paul gets a vision in the night where the man of Macedonia says, come over and help us. And his team, they weigh that, they talk about it, and they think the Lord is leading us from this place to that place, to move from what they're doing here to take it over there. And the response of Paul is what? Immediate obedience. And let's just make a point. It's not insignificant obedience. It's got a huge ramifications on it because they're moving from an area they've been in, they might be familiar with. They're going to a new territory. Travel in the ancient world, although the Roman Empire had relative safety and you could communicate and travel better, it wasn't completely safe. There was always threats of traveling by sea, traveling through open countryside. There might have been bandits. It's not as safe as it might be today, but they immediately respond. The risen Jesus says, go, and so they go. And as a result of that, the resurrection people move out of Asia and across the sea into Europe. And what does this mean for us today on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, as we celebrate that Jesus is alive, that we are part of his resurrection people? It begs the question, are you following Jesus' call? Because Jesus makes a call on all people. If you're not a believer here, the ultimate call you have to follow is, are you going to put your faith and trust in the risen Christ? The one who died in your place for your sin. His body was laid in a tomb. He was dead. Then on the third day, he rose again, victorious, and proclaimed as sovereign king over everything. And his rising from the dead was just a demonstration of his power and authority and complete dominion over sin and death. And so are you responding to his call? Because the Bible says you are to repent of your sin, you are to turn around, and you are to follow him and put your faith and trust in him. What about if you're a Christian here today? The good news means that you will have heard the call. You would have put your faith and trust in Jesus. You would have followed him. You would have recognized that he is alive and ruling and reigning over everything. You are part of his resurrection people. But I want to say to you, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. If we just look at what happened with Paul, he met the risen Jesus in Acts chapter 9. We looked at that last week in quite a dramatic way. This is many years later. And what's he doing? He's still following the call of the risen Jesus. And then Jesus breaks into his life in a specific way and says, not this way, that way. And what does Paul do? He immediately responds. And as Christians, we are to be men and women who are continually following the call of Jesus. We read our Bibles, we hear so we can hear his voice. We pray, we talk to him. We are constantly in a state of obedience and following. And this can come in kind of bigger things and small things. What happened with Paul? Let's not water that down. That was a huge ask. You're over here, you've got to travel all the way over there to another continent of the world, across the sea. It was a big ask. And sometimes God asks us to do big things. I know when Melanie and I were, God spoke to us and we were told to come here and plant the church here. We moved to a town, a city where we knew no one. It was her and I and a baby, and then we had to gather a team. And we moved hundreds of miles across the country and left jobs and homes and friends. And that was a big thing. And sometimes God calls us to do big things, but also God calls us in the relatively speaking smaller things. We're so called by Jesus to show love and care for those around us, to welcome in the outcast and the stranger, the person in your school, your class, your workmate, the weirdo on the outside. God says you're to go and love them and show care and respect to them. We're to offer to pray for people, to help for people. We're to show kindness and grace in situations, particularly if things come against us. We're to forgive others when they have hurt and offended us. We're to show mercy to those around us. Sometimes God tells us not to do things, but to stop doing things. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't watch that. Don't get involved in that. The gossip in the break room, the fiddling of expenses, the name calling at school. We're to forsake those things and follow God's call and become more and more like Him. And my challenge to you this morning is, as part of God's resurrection people, are you following His call? Next thing. The mission in Philippi, okay, verses 13 and 14. It says, on the Sabbath day, we, the team, went outside the gate to the riverside where they supposed there'd be a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Okay, Paul's practice, his missionary practice, we read in Acts, is when he gets to a new place, he first goes to the Jews. Paul, Jesus was a Jew, Paul was a Jew. He could speak to Jews, he knew them, they had a common ground. That was the first place he went. That's why he waited to the Sabbath, which was their day of rest, their holy day. And they went to look for a place of prayer, because as part of the resurrection people, they were on a mission to share the good news of Jesus. And they went and found a place that they thought would be a likely place for Jews to gather and worship together. And they realized there wasn't a synagogue in this place, because the rules at the time was, to start a synagogue, you had to have 10 Jewish men of a certain age. There clearly weren't in that, so it means there weren't many Jews in the city. There were synagogues in other places, there weren't here. So they went to find a place that was the next most likely place that people might gather if they hadn't started a synagogue. So they went to this place outside the city by the river. And what they found there was a group of women who had come together to pray and to worship God. And it says there, one, and they obviously, when they got there, they wanted to start telling them about the risen Jesus. And they had one woman there in particular, Lydia. It says, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. So Lydia, what do we know about Lydia? First thing we know, she's from Thyatira, which was a city in Asia Minor, which is where Paul had just come from. So even though she had left the home, God sent someone to get her. So Paul had come from the same place. He'd come to proclaim the good news. Lydia was actually the name of the ancient empire, kingdom of Lydia, that Thyatira was in. So Lydia was quite literally the Lydian lady. And so she was there. She said she was a seller of purple goods. Thyatira as a city was known for its purple dye. It was made from the madder root, apparently, and it was used to dye carpets and cloths that were quite a sought-after commodity, quite expensive. And so what we know about Lydia is she would have been a businesswoman. She's likely very wealthy due to her business and what she was selling, and also from the size of her house, which we'll come to later. And so she would have had a staff that would have been part of her household, and she would have been skilled in sales, finance, management. She was what we would probably call a professional business woman. It also says she was a worshiper of God, which means she is likely a convert to Judaism. She would have not followed the Torah. She would have recognized the God of Israel as the one true God, and she would have been living in expectation of the Messiah's coming. And Luke, as the author, brings Paul and Lydia together. And Paul, one of God's resurrection peoples, goes to these women. Lydia is there, and he proclaims the good news of Jesus. He is the Messiah to come. He died on the cross in our place for our sin, and he rose from the dead. And we don't know exactly what he said, because it doesn't say. There's just an assumption. But we know elsewhere, when we read the scriptures, of what Paul's message is. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, it says, Paul says, for I delivered to you as of first importance of what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And so Paul's message was a message of resurrection life. Jesus died, he rose again, and this was all in accordance with what the scriptures would have been in the Old Testament at the time. That's what was written. It's then recorded in our New Testament, the story that we're reading now. And so that was the message that he gave. So Paul and company had obeyed the call of the risen Jesus to move from Asia Minor to Macedonia. He's then continuing to obey the call to proclaim that Jesus is alive to the people there. He goes, there's a group of women there. One of them is called Lydia, and he proclaims the message of Jesus there. And if we read in the text, what happens? It says the Lord opened her heart. And we've got a wonderful dynamic being outlined by Luke here. Paul's responsibility is what? To proclaim the risen Jesus. That's what he's to do. He has a message. He's been doing it in Asia Minor with his team, planting churches. He's now in Macedonia, in Philippi, and he's proclaiming the message. Whose responsibility is it to save? Jesus does that. It says the Lord opened her heart. So Paul's job is to proclaim the message. It is the Lord's job to save. And we see right there in that phrase, we see a woman being born again, move from spiritual life to spiritual death, move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, being adopted as a daughter into God's family. And we see the gospel, the good news of the risen Jesus breaking forth right there and then in the city of Philippi. Second thing I want us to learn today is resurrection people proclaim the risen Jesus. Resurrection people proclaim the risen Jesus. This has been the thread of Paul's life from Acts chapter 9 when he met Jesus himself, and he's been doing it ever since. And we kind of dived in a little snapshot here in Acts chapter 16, and we see he's in Philippi and he's coming to proclaim the risen Jesus. We see Lydia responding, hearing, and being saved. And our primary role as resurrection people is to proclaim the risen Jesus. That is why we are here. Jesus said before he ascended into heaven, he said to go into all nations and make disciples. Tell them about me. Teach them all the things I've taught you. Pass on the message. That is what we are here to do. That is why we do it every Sunday. When we gather together, we proclaim the risen Jesus. It's why we run our events like Messy Easter. It was fabulous being at them and having an opportunity to proclaim the risen Jesus to children and their parents. And we did it through craft, and we did it through story. And we did it through just being friendly and welcoming and saying, Jesus is alive. It's why we run Alpha courses, where we got an opportunity for people to actually come, ask your questions. If you're not sure, come ask your questions. If you want to find out more about that, come talk to us. We are following the message, we're being obedient to God's call, and we are proclaiming the risen Jesus. But we've also got to remember, we are not the ones who save. We cannot save. That is not a burden we bear. All we are to do is to proclaim the message. We are to scatter the seed, to use that picture. We are to do it faithfully. We are to do it consistently. We are to do it obediently. And then we pray that the Lord would save. And so my challenge to you today is how are you doing proclaiming the risen Jesus in your networks, in your homes, in your schools, in your families? How are you doing proclaiming the risen Jesus? Proclaiming it to one another. One of the most important places we proclaim the risen Jesus is to each other. That's why we do it in a Sunday, because, can I be rude? We're all really dumb sometimes, and we forget, and we're dull, and we need to be reminded of things again and again and again. But we're also then to proclaim it outside to those who don't know it. If you don't know Jesus here, we are thrilled that you are here. And we want to proclaim that he is alive. And we say we love you and we want you to know Jesus for yourself. All right, last thing. The church in Philippi, verse 15. It says, after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you've judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Okay, Lydia is the first convert, first member of the resurrection people in Europe, a significant moment here. And having just joined God's resurrection people, Lydia responds in two ways. The first way is she gets baptized. She gets baptized. I wonder if it's in the river that Luke has just mentioned a verse before. So they were meeting by the river. Paul proclaims the message. The Lord opens her heart. Ta-da! There's water. Let's get this done. We don't know. It doesn't say. I'm just hypothesizing there, but that would be a reasonable assumption. And all that Lydia is doing is responding to what Jesus said to his followers before he ascended to heaven. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Then what does he immediately say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so all they're doing is just working out Jesus' command. And baptism itself is a picture of resurrection. When they go down into the water, have you ever seen a baptism? They get dunked, covered, dead. We hold them under the water briefly, but long enough to know you're dead. And then we pull them up and they are raised to life. New life in Christ. It's a beautiful picture. And it says, Lydia was baptized and her whole household with her, staff, her employees. There was an effect around her. The transformed life had a ripple effect on those around her. And it says then, as a result, she got baptized, and it says then she offered hospitality. Her immediate response to being saved by Jesus, to becoming part of the resurrection people, is to say to Paul and his team, his companions who are with him, come stay with me. Come be into my house. I want to offer you something. You've given me the greatest gift ever, which is new life in Christ. The least I can do is kind of look after you, let you stay in my home, feed you. And so her response is to be hospitable with other believers, to welcome them into her home. And she's just working out Jesus' call in her life, but she probably didn't know it fully at the time, because later Paul writes to the Romans church. He says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. She was seeking to show it, and she'd only been a Christian possibly minutes. Come and stay with me. Come and stay with me. I want to serve you. Peter later writes in 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another. Then he says, I love this, without grumbling. So we are to be people who show hospitality to one another. And so through Paul's message, we have the risen Jesus has come and has impacted the life not only of Lydia, but also her household, who've been added to God's resurrection people, and the church in Philippi begins. And we know the church exists because we have the story that's coming next week. Come, turn up and find out that. But we also have the letter to the Philippians, which we actually preached through as a church a little while ago. Look it up on the website. But that church exists and grow and thrive, and it began with Lydia, who got saved on that day. All right, last thing to learn, write this down. Resurrection people lived transformed lives. Resurrection people lived transformed lives. The first response of Lydia, having been added to God's resurrection people, was to get baptized. Get baptized. Following the commands of Jesus. She had given her life to him, and she wanted to respond. Jesus himself, when he came to earth, he was baptized by John, and he commanded all his followers after him to get baptized. If you are a believer here, a follower of Jesus, and you have not been baptized, I want to urge you, based on the authority of Scripture, to get baptized. We have one coming up. I want to say 21st July. I hope that's right. Could be. There's a date coming up where we're going to do it here. We have to go outside and we have to put a tub in because we can't do it in here. But we've got a date. We want to baptize you. If you are not baptized, we'd love to baptize you as a believer. And the ripple effects of that, a transformed life, is the fact that her whole household ended up getting baptized. So whatever God had done in Lydia then rippled out to others around her. I remember last week Matt was speaking, and his story was fascinating, where he said God met him, he got saved. At his baptism, your dad gave his life to Christ, then his mum gave his life to Christ, then his sister gave his life to Christ. Ripple effects of a transformed life of men and women who are obedient to Jesus. The second thing that transformed life was that Lydia showed hospitality to others. She was opened her home and was welcoming. And we as resurrection people are to be people who show hospitality to others. We have a kind of an easy option here on a Sunday when we have guests come into our church home, and we are to be welcoming. So we have a team dedicated to that. Say hi to people. You shouldn't be left alone and no one speak to you. We should be talking to you, and should be welcoming you in here. But also when it comes to our own homes, we are to be men and women who show hospitality. And I know as a church, we have a good history of this. I know as men and women that you are hospitable, that you invite people into your homes, not just for formal things like life groups meeting at my house tonight. Well, we've got to tidy up, get ready, but actually you are good. But I want to point something out to you, because I know this happened to us in our family, is that COVID took a toll. Pre-COVID, do you remember that? Whenever that happened a million years ago, we had lots of people in our homes. We had play dates with the kids and their friends and their parents. We had people around like adults with us. But since COVID, on reflection, we are way worse at it now than we were then. And I didn't realize the effect it had had on us until I'm prepared, preparing a sermon on it, thinking, oh yeah, hospitality, great, oh crumbs. This is what happened. And I want to challenge us as a church that actually don't let something like that affect the call of God on us. We are to be men and women who are to show hospitality to one another. And I want to challenge you. Is it something you need to look at? Because I know we needed to look at this as a family. We need to repent because our attitude got skewed by world things around us. But we've let it stick, and we need to make more of an effort opening our homes to serve others and just welcome them in. And it can be the formal stuff, have life group at our home. It can be the informal stuff, having friends around. It doesn't have to be a fancy wedding-style three-course meal. It's just a cup of tea, how you doing. It can be something so simple. But we are to be hospitable people. All right, are we done? Three things. Resurrection people follow God's call. Resurrection people, what was the second one? Proclaim the risen Jesus. I was like, I was testing you there, Ben, and you passed. Gold star. You should be on the leadership team. Oh, it's on behind me. Okay. Oh, we managed to find the right PowerPoint. Yeah, thank you, Sarah. You're a superstar. It's on. All right, now it's gone down now because it's they dubbed you in. Yeah. Anyway, risen people are forgiving of one another, and resurrection people live transformed lives. All right, can the band come back on the stage? Can you guys stand? I want us to lead us in a response together, and then we're going to worship the Lord. What? Okay, maybe you want to just close your eyes and open your hands. And I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, fill us now, be with us now. And there's going to be a bunch of stuff I want to lead us through, but the Holy Spirit's going to come, and I'm going to trust Him to speak to us as individuals and prompt us where we need to be prompted. But I want to go through a few things. First one. Do you need to follow God's call? Or more specifically, where do you need to follow God's call? What is God calling you to now? For a very few small number, it might be the big thing. Change of direction, job, location, it might be those things. But for the rest of us, most of it might be a small thing. Something to start doing, something to stop doing. What is God's call on you? For those of you who don't know Jesus, I can tell you exactly what the call of Jesus is to follow Him. I just want you to take a moment to bring that before the Lord and do some business with Him. Is it something you need to repent of because you've been putting it off and you've been trying to ignore it? Is there a commitment you need to make and say, God, I'm doing this. I'm going to step out in this. I'm going to trust you in this. For some of you here, it might be you need to get baptized. Actually, I need to respond in faith and get baptized as a believer and a follower of Jesus. We'd love to talk to you about that. If you're a member of another church, maybe you need to go back and talk to your leaders at that church and say, I need to get baptized. But make a decision now that you're going to investigate that. I also felt I want to pray this for us, is that I felt that there was a moment in God in that bit where Lydia became a Christian, part of God's resurrection people, and then it says her household were affected. Her whole household were affected and got baptized. And I feel there's a moment here for people in the room who has members of their household, either immediate or extended, who don't know Jesus. And I want to pray for you for fresh faith to arise, that the ripple effect of one person being transformed, then the next person being transformed, then the next person being transformed, would ripple out in your family network, your family unit, your family whatever. So Holy Spirit of God, I want to pray for the men and women represented here who have members of their family who do not know you. It might be parents, it might be children, it might be siblings, nieces and nephews, grandkids who are walking away from you or not walking with you. God, we pray for fresh faith to believe that you will save them. Lord, I pray humbly that you would come and that you would draw them to yourself, that they would become part of your resurrection people. I pray you would save spouses and children and parents and grandkids and siblings who do not know you for your glory, and that your resurrection people would multiply in this land for your glory like it did in the city of Philippi. We thank you that your resurrection power is greater than anything else on this earth. Lord, we pray that you would open hearts to hear your message like you did with Lydia. We pray for us that we'd be men and women of faith who would proclaim the message faithfully to them so that they may respond. Lord Jesus, we pray for that. And lastly, I want to pray for us as a church family, having gone through COVID and the hits we've taken from that, that we'd be men and women who would show hospitality afresh. We've lived it before. We've lived it before, but it's time to remind ourselves of what we used to do and to start doing it again. If you know that that's your story, your situation like ours in my home, maybe you want to do some business with the Lord now and say, God, we're going to open our home. Some of you used to come on a Sunday expecting that you're going to invite someone back to lunch and you had enough food ready because that's just what you did, and you would find someone to come and have lunch with you. Some of you might think, I need to do that again. Some of you need to think about the play dates with the kids, which get my kids' friends rounds. Others, it's just come round for an evening for a simple meal. Come out on a Saturday and we'll just hang out together. The weather's getting better. Come out, hang out in the garden or whatever. We need to be men and women who show hospitality to one another. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you are alive. I want to thank you that you have risen from the dead. I want to thank you that you have formed a resurrection people that we are a part of. Lord Jesus, we proclaim you alive. We proclaim you with the power to save. We say we love you and we worship you. And God's people said,